Lord, well, it's good to be in the presence of the Lord here again this morning. God bless you. Thank you for being with us. And just have a message on our heart today. We're going to try our best to preach it. And keep in mind that immediately after this service, that we are going to have our first Sunday fellowship dinner. Everyone's welcome to stay and be a part of that. And I believe you'll be blessed by the fellowship. I hope you are. Amen. Nothing like the fellowship of the saints. Amen. Saints, when you read in the book of Acts, they would get together, they would break bread, they would have communion, they would have love feast. And it's something that, look, I've got a lot of friends that are outside of this church, people that I've met over the years, but there's nothing like the friends that you have at church. Amen. Thank God. You are what we would call confidants, those that I trust. I feel like everybody in this room, I could trust you. Those that I know, I could trust you. I could give you a fistful of money and say, go do this. I wouldn't have to worry about anything. Amen. That's because God gives you good, godly friends. As I often remind the church, that's what's so special about a church. Because some of us, if we were not saved, some of us probably wouldn't hang together. What I'm saying is we got different preferences. You ever notice high school has different groups? And those groups have multiplied since I've been in high school. Amen. I went to a high school one time. I said, man, you know, when I was in Edenton, North Carolina, you know, you had the rednecks, you had the athletic people, you had the gothic people over here, you had the skaters over here, and man, they just all over there in the cafeteria, everybody kind of hung around the different groups because they had different things that they liked. Amen. What draws a church together is Jesus Christ. Amen. That's who we love. That's who we like. We've all been forgiven of our sins, and that's what makes up a church, and we want everybody to know about the love of Christ. Amen. The book of Acts today, chapter 2. The book of Acts today, chapter 2, one verse of scripture. Amen. Just I have really felt this message in my heart. And I'm gonna read a lot of verses today. I mean, not in my text. I'm just going to read one verse of scripture to you. But as we are preaching today, you'll hear me reference a lot of verses in the Bible. And how many knows the Bible's right? Amen. We live in an age of rational mindsets that want to contradict the Word of God. But thank God it's still right. No matter what this world may think, the Word of God is right. Let's look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And this is the Pentecostal verse of the Bible. Amen. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Let's look at it again and make sure we focus on all of it. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Today, with God's help, I want to preach to you on filled and full. Filled and full. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today and we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this church. We are so blessed, God, by the faithful ones that are here. God, what you're doing in their lives, God, today. I need your help as a pastor. I need the anointing of the Holy Ghost here today, Lord. Lord, help us understand how important it is to stay full of the Holy Ghost, how we live in an age that need men and women that are convinced, that are persuaded, and that are full in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Filled and full. We all understand, and in the beginning of this, my introduction is going to be a little bit of elementary things that you should understand or know if you've attended a Pentecostal church for any season of your life. But when you are truly born again, regenerated, repented, ask the Lord to come into your heart, and there you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we understand that by putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive the Spirit of God into your life. We often in the Bible refer to this as the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There the Spirit takes up residence inside of you. He lives within you. He tabernacles you. You now become a temple of the Holy Ghost, and that is a regenerative experience. There the Holy Ghost comes to live with inside of you. We call that the Spirit of adoption. We call that the earnest of the Spirit, which I love that because that word earnest means the down payment of the Spirit, and it testifies of what's going to be in the future. And you know, it's amazing right now, being filled with the Holy Ghost, living this wonderful, victorious life in Christ is just a taste of what heaven is going to be like. So that is a salvational experience. But today, I do not want to focus so much on that salvational experience, the initial coming of the Holy Spirit to reside in your life, but I want to discuss the fullness of the Spirit. I want to say that again because that is going to be our focus. It is the fullness of the Spirit, also known as being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, once again, I've said this before. That's what we teach here at Abundant Life Tabernacle. You can get our church manual. It is in our bylaws. We are what we call a full gospel church. We believe in the whole nine yards. Amen. You can be saved. We believe in sanctification. We believe in being baptized in the Holy Ghost. We believe the initial evidence is speaking in other tongues. And we believe in what we call the fullness of the Spirit. Once again, we believe the initial evidence is speaking in other tongues as experienced as I read to you on the day of Pentecost. But Paul makes reference to this when he says this, when he's talking about the fullness of the Spirit. He said, "And be not drunk with wine wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." That is a command in that sense. We are to be filled with the Spirit. Now we notice there when he says, "Be not drunk with wine," our mind instantly in reference goes back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 13, as the 120 is coming out of the upper room and they're stumbling about and people are mocking and saying they are full of new wine. There is this concept of fullness when it comes to being baptized in the Holy Ghost. Once again, let's draw the difference. When you are born again, the Spirit takes residence in your life, but when one is baptized in the Holy Ghost, there he is overflowing. He is full of the Holy Ghost. And that's once again what we are going to focus on here today. It is important to note there is the initial feeling of the Holy Ghost, and whereby we tell everybody, once you are saved, will you seek the Lord? Let him clean you up. Let him search your heart. Let him show you who you are in Christ. And then you need to seek for the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And the initial evidence of that will be speaking in other tongues. That is a biblical concept. We've held to it in the Pentecostal Holiness Church. We've held to it in the Church of God. We've held to it in the Assemblies of God. We've held to it in the independent Pentecostal churches. We've held to it in every full gospel church. It is only now in this hour and day they're starting to question if the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues is that sign. And I tell you once again, that is what it is. You will speak in tongues. Why? Because it is an overflowing. It's an outpouring in your life. He's poured upon you, but he will flow out of you as well. Let me read to you from the book of Isaiah today, Isaiah chapter 6. I want to show you something, how our God is a God of fullness. And Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, all of you probably know this story and this account. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up." And notice this, "and his train filled the temple." You see that word "filled" there? That is very important to notice. Verse 2, "Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And notice this, "the whole earth is full of his glory." You see that word "full" there as well. We have seen the word "filled." Now we see the word "full." And it goes on to say in verse 4 as well, "And the posts of the door were moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." Glory to God. What a picture here that Isaiah saw. What a scene. This shows us the fullness of God. He gets a vision of God and his train fills the temple. But then the angels cry out, "Holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is full of his glory." But then it says that smoke filled the temple there. It shows us here from Isaiah chapter 6 and other passages of the Bible that our God is not a God who is a small God. He is not a limited God. He doesn't just want weekend custody of you. He don't want you just to come to church on Sunday and that's about as much of his life he wants you to get. He wants you to be full. That's what he wants to do. He wants his church to be full. He wants you to be full because his glory is a filling presence in our lives. In the New Testament, a moment ago, Isaiah chapter 6, we've seen that Isaiah went to the temple, the house of the Lord. But in 1 Corinthians 3 and 16, Paul tells us, "Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. What I want to draw real quick in this parallel, Isaiah goes to the temple and he realizes that his God, that God's train is actually pre-incarnate Christ, that his train fills the temple, that the earth is full of his glory, that there the temple is filled with smoke, representing the presence of God as well. But in the New Testament, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and he's not just wanting to come and reside in you, he's wanting to fill you up to the uttermost. He's wanting to pour out of you. He wants you to have the fullness of the Spirit. I wonder sometimes, and the fear that I have as I read behind many of a different writer in my day, I feel like I've read more commentaries on Acts chapter 2 than I have anything else. I try to understand how the Baptists view the experience. I try to view how the Methodists view the experience. I've even read how the Catholics and Catholicism view the experience. But I'm telling you, I come back to this great truth, and you can't get away from this. God wants you to not only have the Spirit, he wants you to be full of the Spirit. He wants to control and dictate your life. He wants you to be overflowing with the Spirit of God. And that's what I fear in the day and age in which we live. We've learned to let God come into our lives, yes, but we do not let him fill us up like he wants to. That's why we do our own will, because you're full of your own will, and you can be full of yourself, and you can be full of everything else in this world. How many knows you can be full of a lot of things in this world? Man, your job can fill up everything in your life. We can be full of food. Talk to me after lunch. But God help us to be full of the Spirit. We're seeing so much die. I feel like so much is being lost. And it comes back to this, we're not staying full of the Holy Ghost. Look, if you're here today in this building and you're seeking for the Holy Ghost, hear this, pastor. There's nothing condemning about this. It's encouraging you. Come, be filled. Seek God. Don't you know, I feel like sometimes we miss it. We feel like we're just waiting to come to the altar and just wait for some magic experience at times. But I'm telling you, you've got to seek every day of your life. I'm telling you, you've got to crave and you've got to want it. You've got to want it more than you want anything in your life. I encourage you, if you're seeking for the Holy Ghost and you got to pray and figure out things yourself. But I was to the place when I was seeking for the Holy Ghost, I was willing to take a week vacation off work to lock myself in a church building and not touch any food nor drink any water. Why? I realized I needed to be full of the Spirit. I realized there were doubts in my own mind. I realized there was other voices saying that it was not necessary. I realized more than I needed to watch anything on TV, more than I needed to get on my cell phone, more than I need to keep up with college brackets or the NFL or the NBA or worry about a promotion at a job, that Derek Jones needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, until you hunger and you thirst, you'll never be filled. Until there's a desire in your spirit that matches the power of God, you'll never be filled. How bad do you want it today? How bad do you want it? I've challenged you before here as your pastor. And if you don't like to be challenged, you might as well find another church, because I'm challenged all the time. Brother Glenn, that's all I can do. So I feel the Holy Ghost propelling me. I want to propel you. I've encouraged you, if you're not convinced of its necessity and its power, I encourage you, lock yourself in a closet. Tell your wife and your children, come talk to me later. But I've got to know, take you about, don't even take a commentary with you. It ain't gonna, just take the Bible with you. Get on your knees and tell God right there. That's what the early Pentecostal fathers did. They were in the Methodist movement and they realized there was a morbid deadness in the churches. They realized now, they begin to understand through John Wesley, the concept in the revival of holiness, that yes, we should live apart from the world, but they realize there's something more than this. So what do these men begin to do? This is right there. They are late 1800s, early 1900s. Brother Glenn, you know well about this history as well as your family's been involved in it way before I. But nevertheless, they got together in cottage prayer meetings. It wasn't fancy. They didn't have central heating and air. The weather wasn't always the best. They sat down, they opened their Bibles, and they said, this right here in Acts chapter 2, is it for us or is it not for us? And they came to the conclusion, as many of them in these great cottage prayer meetings where they would pray all night long, and they would labor and they would pray and they would weep all night long as they begin to come out of those little buildings speaking in other tongues, spread that throughout the communities, just like Cashwell there in Dunn, North Carolina. He took a pilgrimage all the way to California just to go to the Azusa Street Revival, got filled with the Holy Ghost, came back and helped start it. The many of the movements such as the Assemblies and the PH helped to initiate those movements. Why is that? Because he got full of the Holy Ghost. So if you're seeking, it is not a condemning thing for a pastor to say, seek more. Be filled. But if you have been filled, stay full. Stay full. There's more damage that's been done by Christians who have initially been filled by the Holy Ghost, who end up doing nothing for Christ. Something is not right. He said, Brother Derek, do you feel like you need to be filled again? Well, there's the initial experience. But I've been filled time and time and time and time and time and time again. I find myself alone in prayer, and I find a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost coming through as you begin to speak in an unknown language. What is that? It's a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost. And my God, we need it in the day and age in which we live, church. This is not one of those messages that I'm just encouraging you to be mediocre and learn to make it in the American dream. Learn to just say, yeah, everything's always going to go your way. I'm telling you, we need to become radical about our faith again. We almost need, and if you don't mind me putting it this way, because I know as humans sometimes we like to be safe and have safety nets, but I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we need a reckless abandon for the Pentecostal faith. We need a call back to this fullness of the Holy Ghost. If you have been filled with the Holy Ghost, can I ask you a question today? Are you still full? Are you still full? It's simple. Be ye filled with the Spirit. Now, I want to show you this in Scripture, because the word fullness there, let me skip over. I want to get to the verses in the Bible. All right. I had a lot of things I was going to say, but I just feel the Lord lead me a different direction here. That word there in Acts 2 and 4, it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It is found, the same word, follow me. You don't have to turn here. But in Matthew 22 and 10, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. It was full of guests. It was like a building that could not have any more capacity in it. It also is the same word found in Matthew 27 and 48. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. It is fullness there. Have you ever seen a sponge that is full? It's amazing. That sponge is all light and everything, and you put it down in the water and you bring it up and it's just pouring water off of it. That's fullness. But you know what the Holy Ghost will do with you? He'll take that dry old vessel of yours. He'll take that vessel that needs a touch. Some of you may be going through a dry place in your life right now. Maybe going through a wilderness in your life right now. I've been through a few dry seasons. No fault of God's, fault of my own. And I had to get down and say, God, I feel just as dry right now. And I begin to look at the circumstances, and I begin to look at all the different problems in life, and I realize what began to dry my heart and mind up. I wouldn't backslid. I was still reading that Bible and praying. But I would go down and say, God, I need a fresh touch today. Don't it feel good to pray through? Don't it feel good, Brother Glenn, to come to church? And you may have been, whatever the situations may be at your job or whatever it is, or in your family, and maybe you're just downright lazy and you're dry because you're lazy and you don't read and pray like you should, but you come to church and it ain't like you deserve it. It ain't like you're all that and everything, but you come to church and God will just give you a fresh touch and you'll leave here filled with the Spirit. That's what you need here today. More than you need a ceremony, more than you need anything, you need to be full of the Spirit today. You need to be full of the Spirit. Peter and John walk into that temple, heals that lame man, gets drawn before the council. Listen, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Here it is. He's drawn before a council. What gave him the strength? He looked at them, the Bible says, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now notice this. After they had been threatened and told they were not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore, and it says they got together of their own, and they prayed, and the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Church, we need a holy boldness in our day. We have cowards of the faith that are coming up. We have timid spirits, afraid to preach holiness, afraid to preach truth. Believe me, as a 30-year-old pastor, I've had them knocking on my door spiritually. I've had people call me and contact me, trying to put all these things in my mind. This is how you should pastor a church. Have you read this book, Brother Derek, of how you can just do this to your sanctuary? It's like 10 easy steps to grow your church. You know what, brothers and sisters? I'm not interested in trying to give you a stage performance. I'm not going to do it. You might as well find another church. I'm not interested in putting strobe lights up here. I'm not interested in painting these walls black and getting it just right so that unconverted can come here and be comfortable. I understand, look, you're looking at a 30-year-old who's just now going to college, who got saved. All I knew when my first sermon I preached, I knew Jesus died on a cross, and I thought that Noah built the ark. That's all that I knew. But I knew I had been filled with something greater than what I was. And I felt something propel me to go to jailhouses and prisons. I felt something telling me to go to the nursing homes. What was that? It was the fullness of the Spirit. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, this isn't a social program. This isn't going to be a place that we come just to scratch your carnal itch. This is going to be a place where that Bible is open and the word is preached and you're challenged to have the fullness of the Spirit. Yes. Churches are a dime a dozen. They're everywhere. And I know that there's things I could do that are probably not, you would have to knock out walls. What are you doing, Brother Derek? I don't want a massive number, quantity. I want quality. What have you told me several times, Brother Tommy? Brother Tommy's told me several times. He said, we want quality, and that's what we want. If you're here and you want the truth of God's word, I'm going to do my best every week to dig in that word. I'm going to lay before my face. If you want to be challenged and full of the Spirit, welcome to Abundant Life Tabernacle. That's what we are. Here, Peter, they said they were full of the Spirit and they spake the word of God with boldness. We have such a timid faith in our day. Afraid to say this, afraid to do that. God, give us boldness. As the church grew, complaints came among the church. The first division in the church was that they were afraid that the widows were being neglected. And so there, the apostles came to this conclusion that we do not need to neglect prayer and study in the Scriptures. They said, we can't do that. So they began to look for the first deacons. Notice in Acts 6 and 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost. That's what it says. Full of the Holy Ghost. And then he goes on to say, look, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. My God, help us have both. I've seen people get full of the Holy Ghost, ain't got an ounce of wisdom. God will give you a good balance if you'll stay on your knees. God give us the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Whom we may appoint over this business. Acts 6 and 5, as it names these deacons, and is saying, please the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and it goes on to name the other deacons. They were full of the Holy Ghost, to the brim. Not just filled, but full. Amen. Stephen's sermon, he's about to die. Not only was he a good deacon, he was a good preacher. Read the sermon of Stephen and shout on. It's beautiful. But notice what it says. But he being full of the Holy Ghost, look up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He's about to die. But he's still full of the Holy Ghost. And in tongues. And that's what you hear the whole time. That's just how she was. How sensitive she was to the Holy Ghost. You need to be full of the Holy Ghost like Stephen was, even when he's about to die. Can I tell you, brothers and sisters, I don't even want to get to my deathbed unless I'm full. It's not about saying, well, you don't think somebody can make it to heaven as long as they're saved. I believe people can make it to heaven. But I'll tell you one thing, I've seen a difference when somebody's on their deathbed and they come to church some. They've given, they've done a little bit for God here and there. But I've sat beside the deathbed of women and men that are full of the Holy Ghost. Man, Brother Carl was one of them. Brother Carl, I loved it. I said, Brother pulled me that side of his bed there. And many of you know Brother Carl, and the whole church does, but if you're visiting, he was a good godly brother here, one of the helped found the church here, Sister Parnell's husband. He pulled me that side of his bed. He said, I'm getting out of here. I said, Brother Carl, we're talking about you going home. He said, I'm not going home. He said, I'm going to heaven is what he was talking about. And I remember praying. I remember different times hearing him. He would say, praise the Lord. And his brother would say, hallelujah. And they didn't care what it. Why? They're full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. Here's Saul as he's converted. Notice what it says about Saul. It says, Ananias went his way. This is after he's been on the road to Damascus. He sees the Lord. He's blind several days. There's a man in that city of Damascus of Ananias. He said he went his way. He entered into the house and putting his hands on Saul, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way that thou camest, have sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Saul was already saved on that road to Damascus. He's seen the Lord. There's been 3 days he's been praying and talking to the Lord. And now here it is. Before he leaves Damascus, and he said, this is how critical it was that he get filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, look, Saul, I know that you need your eyesight, but while we go ahead and pray that God opens your eyes, you might as well get filled with the Spirit of God. You might as well get filled with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because you're going to need it. Why was I counseled? As a young preacher, don't even preach till you get it. Because they realize something, that in a world that we live in, you need it. If Elisha needed a double portion his day, I think we need a double portion in ours. Might not hurt to get a triple. Matter of fact, forget that, we're better. We have the Holy Ghost now. Who needs a portion when we have it all? We have the whole, we have the third part of the Godhead. We have the executive here on earth living in us, not only residing, but full of the Holy Ghost. That's what we need in this day. Yes. Here it is, Paul is preaching in Acts 13. There's a man by the name of Bar-Jesus who's withstanding Paul. It says, Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, told the man that he won't going to see for a few days, won't going to see. And he said, the reason we're going to do this, he said, sir, he said, you're a false prophet and you're full of mischief. That man wasn't full of the Spirit, he was full of mischief. But Paul, being full of the Holy Ghost, was able to look at this man, and through the authority of the Holy Ghost, that man was blind. Now we look at something like that and say, well, that was, do you believe, Brother Derek, that God in his power can use a man in such a way that he could physically inflict something on somebody? Of course, read Pentecostal history. But these men were full of the Holy Ghost. I ain't got no respect for these men that are carnal all the time when they get in the pulpit and try to judge everybody and condemn everybody. But men that are full of the Holy Ghost can see great and mighty things happen. All right, let me bring up another point here, and we're going to move forward, and we won't be much longer. If you're not full of the Spirit, you will be full of something else. If you're not full of the Holy Ghost, you will be full of something else. They were filled with the Spirit, full of the Spirit. Acts 13, Paul said to that false prophet, he said, you're full of subtlety and mischief. And I hate to say I've met some in the years. They had a lot of mischief about them. Then it goes on to say in Acts 19 and 28, and they heard these sayings and they were full of wrath and cried out saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. They were full of wrath. You ever met somebody that's always mad? Always full of anger? There ain't no room for the Spirit in there. Matter of fact, if you're even saved and have the Spirit reside, then it won't stay that way. The ark will not stay beside Dagon. It ain't going to happen. He'll knock it down. He'll dismember it. But something's going to happen. Acts 5 and 3, and Peter and Ananias, it said to Ananias, he says, why have Satan filled thine heart to lie? You ever met people that are liars? Man, I knew one guy one time, he was supposed to be saved. He told more lies. There's no way he could have been saved. He said, Brother Eric, are you the judge of that? Yes, because here Satan has filled this man's heart. It ain't like the man that one day, you know, got nervous and somebody was about to lose his life and he told him, no, I'm telling you, this man lies all the time. There's no way that you can be full of the Spirit and filled with lies. Last thing, the high priest rose up, all that were with him, and it says they were filled with indignation. It goes on to say in Acts, they were filled with envy. I could go on and on. Listen, hear me. What my point is this, if you're not full of the Holy Ghost, something else would take its place in your life. I want you to notice, but if you are full of the Holy Ghost, Acts 13 and 52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. How many knows you can have joy? Pentecostals are known to be joyous. Why? Because they've been known to be full of the Holy Ghost. You can't separate the two. If you're full of the Spirit of God, it's overflowing, you're going to say hallelujah, amen, pray something somewhere, sometime. Amen. Don't tell me you're full of the Holy Ghost and it's flowing out of you and it's almost like you just can't, just, I don't know if I can worship today. Yes, you can. Paul and Silas in a jail can worship the Lord. So can you. Yes. So can you. Romans 15 and 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That word abounding there means like clusters of grapes. How many likes grapes? Okay, I like to sample them myself because I have been deceived. My wife sometimes will get in a rush, and it's no fault of hers, but she'll get in a rush grocery shop and bring grapes. I said, they're the nastiest grapes I've had in my life. I said, you got to eat them before you buy them. What do you mean by that? Just take one and chew on it. Doesn't mean you have to eat all of them. If you're paying for something, at least you can make sure it's good. And if your conscience gets on you, then make it, weigh the grape before, then eat it. And if you don't like it, whatever. It's one grape. But I love good grapes that are so sweet and fresh. And it's just good. I know you're hungry. I know it's lunchtime. But I doubt any of you can be eating grapes back here today. You ever eat raisins? Now, some folks love raisins. My daughter loves them. I can eat them. I like them. They're all right. But do you notice the difference when you chew a nice big old grape than when you chew on a deflated raisin? It's just difference, isn't it? But my, I tell you, as Christians, don't be a raisin. What do you mean? Be full. Let the hope of God, as it said, abound in you. Let the peace of God. I like to see Christians that are just overflowing, about to rupture, just in the goodness of God. I love it. I love it. I love it. Stand to your feet here this morning. Hallelujah. I have more I could say. I have illustrations I could share. I was going to talk about a man being at the shallow end of the pool. Won't never go to the deep end. You need to go to the deeper things of the Lord. But I simply want to read to you one verse one more time. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Church, I believe this is where we all need to get filled and full. Can we say that together? Filled and full. And until we all receive the fullness and maintain the fullness, we will go about our ways just as usual. But this should be and must be an everyday expectation. You need to go home today full. You need to go to work tomorrow full. You need to go home from work full. But my, can you imagine what it would be like every service if everybody would come through those doors full of the Holy Ghost? That's where we're working towards. That's where we must get. And I dare say when we speak of revival and our expectations of revival, that is where we're trying to get every man and woman saved. Living a clean life, sanctified, living in the fullness of the Spirit. It's where we are. It's what we need. How do you give this altar call, Brother Derek? I know I could simply say this, that I know who needs to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and I know there's people that do. I could ask you today, if you've been filled, are you still full? And I trust that some would say, look, I need a fullness in my spirit. I need to learn to maintain that. But I don't want this just to be something that I say one time. I want this to be an everyday striving in your life. You need to be filled. You need to be full. And that is where we need to get. That's where we need to get. Can I pray? Let's pray.